Okay, let's resume on page 34 of the lecture file, PDF page 34, which begins part 3 of lecture topics, which is LMLIST does logistics and introducing GLMER. That is, we have a binary outcome. And we would just want to repeat our descriptive analyses as much as dichotomous data permit, and then our modeling, basic modeling of trends over time or even levels over time that we introduced in week 2, extending it by using GLMER instead of LMER to GLM style models, GLM mixed effects models, and those would be most often binary outcomes or counts. And here we're going to introduce binary outcomes using a data set. We'll use an experimental example in week 5, and that's respiratory from HSAUR. And we'll see that. And we have description in the growth curve chapters of HSAUR 2 or even 3. This is a widely used example, and so it's a good thing to do these kind of widely used examples. We have basically 4 observations on a binary outcome, poor and good. So, respiratory status of patients recruited for a randomized clinical multicenter trial. Multicenter is important. Data respiratory, that's pretty obvious. Frame with 555 observations, that's long form, on 7 variables. We have a treatment arm and a placebo arm, 2 arms. Gender, male and female. There may be male and female differences in response to the drug, probably not the placebo. Age, respiratory status, which is important. It also has a baseline, which we need to bring out and make that a background characteristic, because that's before assignment to treatment or control, so it's really an exogenous variable. 1, 2, 3, and 4 months are actual observations after either the treatment is started or you continue with the placebo. And of course, we know the patient. We have 111 patients split into 54 active, 57 placebo. We're going to look at the 57 placebo as an example of looking at a collection of time trajectories on a dichotomous outcome. So we have this in long form, each of the 2 centers, and this is from 1991, and you have data respiratory package equals HSAUR2, which you can install to get the data. You could do a mosaic plot if you like. It's a little fancier than what we do, or you can just do the kind of plots we've been doing. Continuing this preamble, PDF page 36 contains the front page of the original study. It's good to look at the original research. After all, that's why we do statistical analysis. And Charles S. Davis, 1991. And we have just a description of longitudinal clinical trials, and that's been going on for some time. That's why we care about them. And PDF page 37 starts out with a quick data description. Eligible patients were randomly assigned active treatment of placebo. Respiratory status characterized here as poor or good. 0-1 or PG was determined at 4 visits. Potential background characteristics were center, sex, baseline, we'll have to pull that out, as well as age at the time of study entry. Learned that age is important in respiratory distress in the age of COVID. 54 active, 57 placebo, 5 observations on each. And that brings us to PDF page 38 if you want to see actual data. Sometimes people print out the actual data. Poor or good, so zeros are poor. And we'll look at that in our data set. You can see everybody has 4. This is in wide form for publication. We're going to look at it in long form. Baseline is a background characteristic for longitudinal observations. We might not use a trend. It's very hard to detect a trend in binary four binary observations, probably fit an average and ask who's on the average doing better, placebo or control, or we just might want to ask who has a higher level, i.e. probability of being good, based on age or baseline or something else for descriptive purposes. PDF page 39 has chapter 13 of HSAUR version 2, and you can see they go through these data, and here we have them in long form. Table 13.1 on PDF page 39, beginning of chapter 13, growth curve chapter in HSAUR 12 and 13. You can see some are good or poor, all four observations. Some people have differences between observations. They may be more borderline too. Okay, and again, analyzing longitudinal data, eligible patients, randomly assigned active treatment at Contrio, and in week 5, we'll look at the effectiveness of the treatment. You can see I have too many versions of this here, but it's good to refer to them. Okay, starting on PDF page 41, we have a half dozen deep background slides from Doug Bates, and it's good to illustrate what a nice job he does. Beautiful knitter slides. I think the RNW files are available on the from where you get these. Generalized linear mixed models is what GLMM stands for. And I keep these in the lecture corpus just in order to ask people how much background they have in dichotomous and count data. There are some departments that like to, in applications, pretend everything is measured. So if you haven't seen the density for a Poisson distribution lately, we have it there. And of course, the Bernoulli distribution for 0-1 outcomes. And it's good to know those. And it's quite relevant. That's how you derive link functions and things like that for GLMs, which might be familiar or not familiar to you. So I ask people how much background they have in this, and I say a little bit based on the responses. So that's the first page of the GLMM deep background. And then we have link functions, which is how you transform the systematic part, eta GU, logit for dichotomous data, and log for count data are the link functions, and we derive those, and all of this is contained in any introduction to GLMs, and they're nicely done out by Doug Bates here, but this is deep background, and so I'm just pointing it out to you. Canonical link functions, and goes through and explains what a link function is. That's how you do the transformation to make a model multiplicative model for counts into a GLM. Canonical link function is the logit, the log of probability over 1 minus probability. And that's what GLM or GLMMM will do. And then you have some plots showing how the transformation works. There's the link. And now we come page 47 to the business part of this, which is actually looking at the data analysis. So we have some deep background. You might want to look at a little bit or review from your text where you learn GLMs, but we're going to move forward with data analysis. And so logistic regression for a dichotomous outcome. And what I'm using is the placebo arm of the respiratory data just to illustrate the most basic use of a collection of time trajectories, perhaps flat, for the dichotomous outcome. PDF page 47, this is also the link download in lecture topic 3. Okay, so from HSAUR 2, probably get it from 3 also. Data respiratory, you can see it's in long form. First female has 5 observations. Month 0, we need to pull off and make background, because that's before. We're going to need to do that in the when we look at the treatment arm. And so we have, after this trial starts, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 with the baseline as a covariate. Okay, and here's HSAUR does that very nice. So I just let their code be our code. And you can see all we've done is now, if you look at head resp, the second version of it. Now you can see for the female, age 46, has four observations, 4 months after the assignment to treatment or placebo, poor all four, and also has a poor baseline, because all five observations in the original file were poor, and that's it. I could try to do an America the status, or I can use status as poor or good. End stat is just a 0-1 transform of poor and good up there. And so now we have to do a structure resp. I, of course, shorten the name so I don't have to, so I won't mistype it. We have the obvious set of variables. I also made a numeric of month so that it would be, could use it to fit trends as opposed to an ordered factor. Right now it could be an ordered factor. It's an ordered factor. We're going to talk about ordered factors in section 4. Good catch there. So what it all it's keeping track of is month is not necessarily equally spaced. It says it's ordinal with 4 levels. Early, next, next, and latest would be the way you could say 1, 2, 3, 4 if you wanted to fit any trend, and we're not going to need to do that to the dichotomous data. You might have to try to code it or use it as it is, or we'll see what kinds of output you get when you just have an ordered factor. That's what we're doing in part 4, just starting from scratch. So note the ordered factor on month. Okay, so now we're going to load LME4. We have to make the status numeric status minus 1. I guess I'd already done that, but here we did it again. New, I think I kludged 2 together. For example, just use a placebo group. So I pull off the placebo group. Now I'm down from 444 rows to 228, 57 cases. Long form, 4 observations per case, plus the baseline covariate. And so we've got 228 all in the placebo on PDF page 48, working through. And now I'm going to show you LMList will work, and that's why I need to do status N. I think I had NSTAT before, but I made it again. Subject, and we do family binomials, so we're going to ask for the 4 observations. All we're going to do is fit a flat, fit the average probability. That's what we're going to use LMList to give us, but that's about all we can ask for. So who is relatively high and who is relatively low, averaged over the 4 observations. It might be more interesting if we had richer data. And we're going to look at the 44-year-old female, who's about the 3rd observation in our data set, who has 3 goods and a poor, probably breathing the same air I'm breathing today in month 4. Baseline was good, so, but eventually going down. Okay, so what we're going to do with LMList is fit the flat line, and if we look at the COEFs, we can see that we get for her, the 3rd person, we get in the odds metric, which is taking the exponentiation of the logit. So the COEFs are log odds, as it says in the output, and that's 1.09. Exponentiate that, you get 3. That represents 3 goods and a poor. And of course, odds over odds plus 1, 3/4 gives probability, and that's represents 3 out of 4. So LMList is just fitting an average average logit, log odds metric. You can go back in the odds metric, and odds over odds plus 1 gets you in the probability metric. 3 out of 4 is 3 out of 4. All right. Okay. So that's what LMList can do for you in an exceptionally simple situation. Of course, if we had real predictors and things like that, we could make it more extensive, but I wanted to show it in the simplest cases, doing what you want to do. So LMList does logistic, is a very useful thing. So we can do the same kinds of displays, just a little less rich because four observations of dichotomous data, but we could look at level versus other things. We could do all the same kind of descriptors we did for level in the Smart First Year Student Approach. That's it. Then we're going to use GLMER for the first time. And of course, just fitting flat level, getting an average of the four observations, reflecting the fact that there's multiple observations on a person, average for each subject, then average for the group. So our RESP LMERA is our first real analysis using a dichotomous outcome. We call GLMER, which is LMER for generalized linear models. It used to automatically do it if you put in LMER, family equals binomial. Now it wants GLMER, last 10 years. And so our model is quite simple. Level one is all we got, and we're just fitting a flat line, getting an average for each subject. So we're going to look at differences between subject. And if we do that, we get our random effects, which is going to tell us how variable subjects are in the log odd matrix. So summary RESP LMERA first. We get an average estimate of that, which gives us an odds of 0.632. So in the placebo group, people aren't that great. That is, their odds are 0.63. Probability is about a third. 0.63 over 1.63. That's about average. We can get a confident for RESP LMERA and get that level, get a confidence level with 50 some people. It's not that tight, you can see. Includes odds of one, which would be a 50-50 chance. We can also do that by bootstrap and you get similar results. So you can do the same kind of inferences, even though this is relatively sparse information, just illustrating that you can do the same things with GLMER you did with LMER, except we just have one quantity of interest, average probability of being good or average odds of being good. Then to extend it to something that's more, a little more interesting, is baseline status a good predictor for level? And we'd expect it would be because placebo had no intervention, so baseline is wedded to the four longitudinal observations. So we fit a second model using level one and then level two. Level one is fit a straight line, fit a flat line, excuse me, to the probabilities. And level two is that the average for each individual may depend on their baseline. And so that results in this. If you write out the level one, level two, it's almost trivial, family equals binomial. And we come along and do that, and we will get then a very strong improvement to our be able to predict. That is a big boost. If baseline is good, it gives us a big, significant boost. Okay. So level one baseline equals zero is our intercept. Baseline good is the increment if your baseline was good over your baseline was poor. And you can see at ANOVA comparing the two models shows that baseline is a very useful predictor, and that'll give you a prediction for each person, and we could follow that through. It's a bit of toy data. And then you can see baseline good is clearly well away from zero. So when we add baseline, the covariate, then the intercept changes to what's the level for people that are poor, and people that are good get a big boost. to our prediction, or our fit, more accurately, to their average status. So that's just using this very basic, relatively sparse, well, we only used little bits of it, just to illustrate you could do the same things with GLMER that you use with LMER. And that will, of course, come back to when we do this analysis of this actual experiment. So that gets us to PDF page 51, where we look at ordered factors. Since we encountered an ordered factor month in the respiratory data, it's a good excuse to have a short segment, lecture topic 4, on ordered time factors. It's not a happy topic in the sense of when you lack numerical information about time, it's more difficult to understand trends. All we know about the 4 months is that they're earlier, later, later, later. We don't know the gaps between them. Maybe it's equally spaced, maybe it's not. And that's the nature of an ordinal variable, ordered categorical variable, often called ordinal, versus actual numerical information. So we didn't need to use the ordered nature because we weren't trying to fit a time trend to those four dichotomous observations. But it's good to know what an ordered factor is and the limited usefulness it does have if we're thinking about time trends and understanding improvement or degrading of individual subjects. So ordered factors I pulled out deliberately. There is an R help file, of course, search at some point. Here's just to show you all the resources that do exist for R. I think this is a business-oriented little introduction to R. Data camp, but you can find it either. So you might have best to worst credit ratings. That is, or you could call them most risky. If you wanted to read those in and make them a factor, of course, you know how to do that. And if you want to make it an ordered factor, that may be a new thing. You say ordered equals true and give it the levels. AAA is the least risky. Or you could order an existing factor, and you will get the kind of relative magnitude statement on levels that you saw on month. That's how you created it, either by ordering it or by creating it as ordered. And so that's a good thing to see. Now, what are the consequences for LM or LMER? And we'll see these when we look at the full respiratory data. Here is a different little thing from a help file or a question and answer file. And I just pulled this out just again to show you that people do lots and lots of helpful stuff. Okay, here we have 12 days. We don't know what 12 days they are. We just know they're ordered. And when you do an ordered factor, it's not going to give you the kinds of easily interpretable output coefficients that you might expect. It's going to give you here orthogonal polynomials. You can get it as treatment contrasts if you ask for a different way, or you can get it as successive differences if you ask for a different set of contrasts. But it's not all that useful. If he coded them, then he gets a minus 0.27, i.e. by doing it as numeric, pretending these are equally spaced days. But here's the kind of thing you get. There are orthogonal polynomial contrasts, which are well known if they're spaced. Basically, with an ordered factor, the best thing you can do is try to approximately code it and check a couple different codings and see it doesn't make much difference. If there isn't much of a trend, do what we did with months in the respiratory data, just fit a straight line. But there are consequences if you don't have fully informative data, like the actual quantitative measurements of time. There, that puts limits on what you can learn from the data in the analysis. The data determine what information you have. All we do in statistical analysis is summarize the information in the data. and a little more if you created a simple data set and look at ordered factor. Here you'll get your linear contrast, and if you wanted to do successive difference contrast, this is what's nice. You just have to put in a contrast list. Successive differences might be the most useful thing to do if we're trying to look at things. So it's very good to have that illustration. That's why I grabbed this. If you wanted to do that, or you could code them as equally spaced and get successive differences. But the default is orthogonal polynomials, which are not going to be terribly meaningful to most people. Okay, then just taking a look at what we're going to turn to are non-straight line growth. And there's two kinds of non-straight line growth we'll consider. Polynomial trends, which are linear models, or models that are linear in the parameters, they just aren't constant rate of change. And that's where we're going to start with Bach's famous vocabulary data and the Chicago Lab School, which is in the middle of the School of Education at University of Chicago, where I was 45 years ago. 45. And we're going to take a look at that. Mention repeated measures analysis of variance, because that's a good thing for you to have heard about. And so that'll be in the next section of the audio. We're a little bit under this week, I think, so we'll do section 5 as a separate audio section. But that's good, because I think in week 2 and maybe even week 1, we went full or a little beyond, so we'll give you some time back this week. So part C of the audio will take up section 5. Starting on PDF page 54, you can see we've got a good chunk to do. We'll do non-straight line growth, both linear models, which are polynomials, and non-linear, such as logistic or growth to an asymptote. Okay, end of part B.